Let's read together Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. Now in the second half of the chapter, we are exhorted to walk in the Spirit and not walk after the flesh. And we have the fruit of the Spirit presented in contrast to the deeds of the flesh. Let's begin by reading verses 16 through 21. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's consider a few background notes as we begin our study of the second half of Galatians chapter 5. If you read through the Apostle Paul's epistle to the Galatians and somehow think that you can still get into heaven by just living a good life, then you are not a good reader. That is, you don't comprehend what you read. It's impossible to read the book of Galatians and miss the point that salvation is not by works, but by grace through faith. God's grace in providing salvation for sinners, because Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And our faith in receiving the gift of salvation by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That's the gospel, pure and simple. You can't mix works and faith. The false teachers of Paul's day, known as the Judaizers, were saying that you had to keep the law and do the works of the law along with your faith in order to obtain salvation. No, says the Apostle Paul and the Bible. You cannot mix law and grace, or it is no longer grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor toward mankind. You mix in any amount of works, even a little bit, then it is no longer grace. Well, what about sanctification? Sanctification is the process of believers becoming more holy and godly in this life. Certainly, this must be by keeping God's law to the best of our abilities, right? Wrong. This would be works-oriented sanctification. The law could never give life, and the law was never intended to be the Christian's rule of life. You're not saved by the works of the law, and you're not sanctified by the works of the law. We saw in Galatians chapter 3 that God gave the law for two reasons. One, to prove that no one could measure up to God's standards. And two, to prepare the way for salvation by faith in Christ alone. Well then, what is the biblical method of sanctification? How should a believer go about gaining victory over sin and becoming more godly in this life? Galatians 5:16 gives the answer. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. Here's the biblical method of sanctification in a nutshell. And that leads us then to our doctrinal points for this second half of Galatians chapter 5. So doctrinal or teaching point number one, believers who walk in the Spirit will not commit the deeds of the flesh. Believers who walk in the Spirit will not commit the deeds of the flesh. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit or walk by the Spirit? Basically, it means to be occupied more with Christ, because that is essentially the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to form Christ in us, that is, to make us more Christ-like. It's impossible to be fully occupied with Christ and commit sin at the same time. This, then, is the key to a godly life and sanctification, to be more and more occupied with Christ, and then automatically you will sin less and less. Now look at verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. That is, when we are led by the Spirit, we don't have to follow the law as a rule of life, because we will be doing God's will. Now, to walk in the Spirit and to be occupied more with the Lord obviously means that we'll be involved in lots of Bible study and prayer and worship and Christian fellowship and Christian service. And we can be sure that the flesh is going to do everything it can to stop the process of sanctification, because the flesh is in opposition to the Spirit, as we read in verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now, what is the flesh? The flesh is the sinful nature that we were born with. When we become Christians, we receive a new nature. 2 Peter 1:4 says that believers are partakers of the divine nature. The new nature that we have as Christians does not sin and does not want to sin. It is the nature of the new life that we have in Christ. This is the life that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. But until we get to heaven and receive our new bodies, our resurrected bodies, we still also have the old sinful nature that we were born with. Did you know there are Christians who teach that once we are born again, we no longer have the sinful nature? The only reason we still sin, they say, is because of bad behavioral patterns that must be reprogrammed. Well, if that is true, then why do Christian adults who became Christians as children commit sins that they never committed as children or never even dreamed of as children? Now, that's just one argument to refute such teaching that a believer no longer has a sinful nature. Galatians chapter 5 clearly teaches here that a believer still has the flesh or sinful nature and is capable of any one of the sins of the flesh mentioned here. Let's read that list again. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, in that list of sins, any Christian, because of the sinful nature, is capable of any one of those sins. Now, what about the last part of verse 21? Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Does this mean that Christians who commit any one of these sins lose their salvation? No. But those who practice these sins as a way of life prove that they never were true believers. 1 John 3, verse 9 says that whoever is born of God does not practice sin. That is, does not live a life that is characterized by sin. A true believer does not habitually sin, does not lead a life of sin. That's the idea. Again, what is the key for victory? Walk by the Spirit, by soaking up the Word of God and staying in happy fellowship with other like-minded believers. Believers who walk in the Spirit will not commit the deeds of the flesh. Doctrinal point number 2. Believers who walk in the Spirit will exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Believers who walk in the Spirit will exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Verses 22 through 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Notice that the contrast here is not between the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh. No, it's rather between the fruit of the Spirit and the deeds of the flesh. There is no fruit from the flesh. And notice that it is the fruit, singular, of the Spirit, not fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is really Christ-likeness. That is the life of Christ lived out in the life of the believer. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are all character traits of the new life that we have in Christ. And there's certainly no law against these character traits, as verse 23 says. Against such, there is no law. As we walk in the Spirit, this fruit will be exhibited in our lives. Now, what does verse 24 mean? And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Does this mean to persecute your body? No. This verse means that part of walking in the Spirit or walking by the Spirit is to continually recognize our position in Christ and put it into practice. Our legal position before God is that we have died with Christ and have been raised with Christ. Read Romans chapter 6 in this connection. Now we need to recognize this truth in practice and keep the flesh in the place of death. That's what's involved here in verse 24. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We keep the flesh in the place of death. We cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit in our own strength, but we can refuse to read certain magazines or watch certain videos or look at certain websites that appeal to the flesh. Don't feed the flesh, because it is there. That sinful nature is there, and it will thrive if it's fed. Consider it as crucified with Christ. That's the point of verse 24. Believers who walk in the Spirit will exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Now, what about practical application from this second half of Galatians chapter 5? Remember, walking is a step-by-step process. Walking is a step-by-step process. Verses 25 and 26. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Notice verse 25 does not say, if we live in the Spirit, let us also fly in the Spirit or gallop in the Spirit. No. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. When you walk, you move forward one step at a time. Maybe some of you are discouraged right now because you don't see more fruit of the Spirit in your life. Listen, stay walking in the Word and in prayer and in Christian fellowship and service and worship, and the fruit of the Spirit will be seen in your life. Maybe that's your problem. You're not walking in these practices. If you walk after the flesh, little by little, verse 26 will characterize your life. You will become a conceited, bad-mouthing, jealous Christian. But if you walk in the Spirit, little by little, the fruit of the Spirit will characterize your life. Remember, walking is a step-by-step process.